Welcome to the Technology and Intelligence Briefing Podcast, brought to you by the Commercial Division of the National Association of Realtors. I'm your host, Steve Lubetkin. In this podcast, a conversation about building a high-performance building IQ with Thomas Shercliffe, co-founder and principal of Intelligent Buildings Group. Tom Shercliffe has 20 years of experience in technology working with commercial businesses, real estate developers, government, medical, and educational organizations. Previously, Tom was a regional executive for Bell South, Broad River VOIP, and Price Davis, a construction and development firm. Tom's co-founder and managing partner, along with Rob Murchison of Intelligent Buildings Incorporated, which provides strategic consulting for key stakeholders, owners, and property managers in commercial, institutional, government, and corporate real estate environments. He's a graduate of North Carolina State University and maintains a real estate license and serves on several nonprofit boards. He joined us from his office in Charlotte, North Carolina, over Skype internet telephony. Tom, welcome to NAR Commercial's T&I Briefing.
Thanks, Steve. It's good to be with you.
Green, sustainability, energy efficiency, whatever you want to talk about, those are all hot topics right now. But all the indicators suggest that commercial building efficiency is here to stay, no matter what you call it. So why don't you give us a general summary, Tom, of how you see the future of commercial buildings in the country?
Well, you're right. There are a lot of terms being thrown around, but I think you really need to look at the mega trends, and you should consider those being technology changes in the way buildings work and building controls, government regulation, sustainability goals themselves, the smart electrical grid, and of course the economy and the capital markets. And these megatrends have taken issues and solutions for those issues that used to be tactical issues and elevated them to strategic issues. So building owners are taking on an active role in what used to be the arena of engineers. For that matter, tenants also have new needs, such as we mentioned the green leases, sub-metering, they have their own sustainability goals, and there are other factors. And so there are two things that address nearly all of those issues, and they are a strategy and the technology. So building owners are beginning to develop strategies for those, again, once tactical topics, and that's being driven by technology, both as a reality of the way buildings work, but also as solutions to deal with those mega trends and those big influences in real estate.
Now, of course, Tom, building developers and owners are interested in making their buildings attractive to tenants, and they're also interested in a reasonable return on investment. And I understand why commercial brokers would want to be conversant in building performance, but why don't you tell us a little more about how commercial practitioners can add value to a transaction by getting this kind of knowledge, and what are the kinds of knowledge that they should most know about?
Right. So what's the relevance, you know, to a real estate professional or a broker? And, you know, maybe the best way to do that is to think of maybe to make up a scenario. So let's say a major corporation or even a government who's doing a lot of leasing these days says they're looking for a full floor plate, or heck, let's say it's a good deal. Let's say they're looking for 100,000 square feet, but they say that the space the building has to be Energy Star rated, it has to be LEED rated. They're going to utilize a green lease, which means maybe they need sub-metering. They also want to track their corporate greenhouse goals as it relates to the building, and they want to, let's say they want to incorporate some advanced controls in their tenant improvement allowance. So that was a mouthful, but I can tell you that the U.S. government and at least one major bank that we know of have many of those requirements in their leasing documents and when they're looking for space. So what kind of knowledge should real estate professionals know about that? I would say they would want at least a high-level understanding of technology as it relates to real estate, such as the basic components of control systems and the basic components of an IT network. Now, I'm not talking about being too techie here, but they can do this through conferences, educational groups, and webinars and seminars and those kind of things. And they should also get familiar with the corporate sustainability goals of those that they're trying to lease for and how they manifest themselves in real estate. For example, you might need sub-metering to have a particular kind of a green lease, or you might need to know more about lighting controls to be able to manage your own electricity in the space. And so if they build this kind of knowledge, they won't be stuck in the same old cliches that you kind of mentioned earlier that everybody spouts that are kind of losing some meaning about green and sustainable. And they'll be able to really make that tangible for their clients when it comes to finding a space.
You know, when we first started hearing about green buildings, I remember it seemed pretty challenging to determine a return on investment for those kinds of expenditures. And now we're hearing that a 3-year ROI is becoming a norm. Is that your opinion?
Well, yeah, and really ROI is slightly less important in some ways. And I don't mean that spending money shouldn't have a return. But what we're seeing now is more of a focus on doing what you're already going to do better, meaning there's much less capital being spent even to get a return. So if you have an existing building or portfolio, a standard approach, a programmatic approach is now ruling the day to things like system refreshes, security add-ons, energy management, things that you're doing to an existing building that may already be scheduled or budgeted, doing those things with an eye for the long term. And so as simple as it sounds, it's just important to avoid proprietary solutions and plan for future interoperability between systems, maybe even considering dashboards that would manage multiple systems. And so after you commit to a sort of a standards-based approach for what you're already going to do, then you can take new systems on a case-by-case basis with ROI. And there's not one particular approach to what that is. And when, and we're seeing less and less of that, but when you're doing that ROI scenario, they are very, very short. So the moral of that story is to really first focus on what's already scheduled and budgeted and do that in a different way.
Now, Tom, for those who aren't familiar with the terminology, one term that keeps popping up a lot lately is the idea of smart grid. What is a smart grid? Give us a quick overview, if you could.
Sure. The smart grid is really the idea that buildings will begin a dynamic two-way relationship with the electrical grid, and that could be in several different ways. The smart grid could price electricity dynamically based on the time of use or the type of demands for a building. The grid could send information to the building predicting the load or price for a particular day of hour, and then the grid could also signal financial incentives for a building to shed load on demand based on needs, such as if there were stress on the grid. All of those things represent a two-way interaction where the grid says something to a building and then the building does something about that. There's no doubt this is right around the corner because the technology advancements are there, both in the buildings and the grid, and the government is encouraging this with lots of stimulus money to many of the utilities. And a lot of it actually already exists, things that I mentioned, such as load prediction and demand response programs and load shedding with the building system. So it really is the building and the grid working together through technology in a much more smooth and automated way.
Now, I'm sure that when you're planning the ideal project, it's going to be new construction because you can plan everything and connect all the elements to the grid right from the beginning of the project. Is it also beneficial to do piecemeal improvements to existing buildings?
Yeah, you surely want to design and build any new building differently than the traditional approach because things have really changed profoundly in the way building control systems are designed and put in. But we're definitely in a retrofit market now. You know, it's really never too late to stop being inefficient, or if I could even say short-sighted, when you're making any planned or scheduled improvements like we talked about earlier. So just to make that point again, if you were going to replace an aging control systems and you had to connect those controllers for your control system floor to floor and then to its management server, you would want to do that in a way that when you had the next system refresh, that same cabling, that same infrastructure could be used for the next system. Again, that's just doing what you're going to do in a retrofit a little bit smarter and a little differently. And certainly, again, with any new building, you want to take a wholly new approach.
Tom, you've been working with a number of manufacturers of lighting, security systems, and other elements of a building grid or a smart grid. Tell us some of the things you've seen that are most exciting to you in terms of products, and maybe some of the ones that are actually saving building owners the most when they look at their operating expenses.
There are some new technologies, and what we're seeing and recommending are a much softer approach to, let's say, retrofit solutions. And that can mean using small appliances and software to just extract and analyze analyze and then even act on the data you can get from a building you used to not be able to get. Literally, analytics software can tell you things about your building that you just can't see in your building automation systems or even with your own staff. This is a really, you know, software approach is a low cost, high value, and a really growing segment in real estate technology. And I would add to that, that again, the fairly simple idea of standardizing naming conventions of all the building systems so that you become less and less dependent on proprietary or specific O&M vendors. This is also, you know, all of those things are, you know, that data connection and data analysis and is leading to more conversations of real estate operations centers, so that you can manage a lot more properties with fewer resources. It's, you know, rather than a particular product, it's the concept, concepts like that, you know, along with the more important concept of organizational alignment, because it's one thing to say, here are new technologies and here are new ways of doing things. But when you start cutting across departmental lines and budget lines, there's even a question of whether you as a real estate organization can even buy it or do it if you're not aligned internally to do that. So softer solutions and really internal alignment to get these more technology-oriented solutions implemented.
Tom, your company has gathered some history data now. Asking about costs may be akin to asking what a house costs, but maybe you could provide an example of a very simple building upgrade and a broad range of what you think a similar project might cost, and then perhaps go into what a little larger project profile might be and its costs.
We talked about this idea of softer approaches and real estate operation centers and connecting those buildings. So while there's not one particular thing, particular product or bundle, we are seeing some retrofits where we're trying to connect and analyze that data. Just to throw out a number, something like a $50,000 mini bundle, and you can get some what's called a middleware appliance, a smart electrical meter, some cabling, and plug those things in and get really great information and great results. I use a term called middleware. Middleware is a small appliance the size of a bread box that allows different systems to talk to each other, such as HVAC and electrical metering. When the data is normalized with that little breadbox appliance, now you can start making sense of that, and you can start doing analytics on that information. And just to throw out some other numbers, those are solutions ongoing that are in the 25 to 50 cents a square foot range to save $1, $1.50 a square foot ongoing. So that's a pretty good cost to value ratio. Then after that, you move into the more traditional, big iron retrofits of, you know, lighting retrofits and variable frequency drives and $2, $3, $4, and $5 a square foot.
Tom, it all sounds very technical. Is that where we're at now? If it's so technical, why don't we just have the architects and the engineers handle all of it?
Yeah, well, you're right. It's not much fun to talk about at a cocktail party, but that's what it's come to. Whether we like it or not, nearly every control system works by its nature on a classic IT network. I mean, an HVAC system, or you name it, elevator, lighting, security, daylight harvesting, they have a server and they have some kind of distributed controllers and a cabling infrastructure. So that's just the way they work. They are IT networks. And as we said earlier, data is the key to understanding and managing a building, especially a portfolio. We have to come to terms with basic IT and ways to get and analyze data. And that's why you see these commercials from the Cisco Connected Community and the IBM Smart Planet and others like them, because it's really become about IT and data. And the architects and the engineers you mentioned have traditionally handled, you know, all things technical, and they just simply have not kept up with IT and data and hadn't yet made a commitment to embrace that. So that creates a bit of a vacuum, and that's why you see companies like ours, and we mentioned Cisco and IBM and Accenture and Deloitte and, you know, all these IT and consulting companies that used to not be in the traditional real estate space are now.
So what's the ultimate future role for commercial brokers? Where are they ending up in all of this?
Well, many of them have deep trusted relationships with their clients, and they're really well positioned to stay as that trusted advisor even in this new technical environment. However, they do need to step up a little bit to the challenge of learning technology, controls basics, and not just for the sake of technology, but how that affects pro forma leases, financing, sustainability, and all the areas they have traditionally advised on. So, you know, many brokerage companies, you know, also have property management divisions, and that area is being impacted by, you know, their generational and skills gaps, and there are also, you know, new kinds of facility management companies springing up that use these remote management tools and real estate operations centers that we talked about. And we're even seeing some large, big-name real estate brokerage companies partnering with IT companies. So it is really the convergence of traditional real estate relationships with technology skills that are going to be required.
Tom, one of the most prominent building designations is the LEED certification. And I just want to close out with any final thoughts you might have about how LEED relates to sustainability and technology improvements.
Obviously, is synonymous with sustainability, but LEED has also been assumed to be synonymous historically with energy efficiency. But the figures show that at least historically, most LEED buildings are not ENERGY STAR rated or rateable, and so-called, just generically so-called green buildings underperform their energy models by 25% on average. However, the USGBC is addressing this in LEED 2012, and it is said that it will be much more performance and data-oriented, and this is really going to be an exciting change for the industry, because people just always make that assumption that LEED equals operational expense improvement and energy efficiency, and it is going to be much more that way. So we've been fortunate to stay close with the USGBC, and we have a lot of confidence that things are moving in the right direction to link those certifications to actual performance.
Tom, any final thoughts on the future of high-performance intelligent buildings?
It is technology-based now, and that all of those real estate megatrends have technology components and technology solutions to them, so that, you know, this is where we are, and it doesn't seem that we're going to go back. So I would just encourage, you know, a continuous education process on how technology relates to real estate performance and the real estate advice that these professionals traditionally give.
Tom, thanks very much for being with us on the T&I Briefing Podcast.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for another interesting and informative T&I Briefing Podcast from the Commercial Division of the National Association of Realtors. For more information on intelligent buildings, you can email Tom Shercliffe at tom@intelligentbuildings.com or visit the website intelligentbuildings.com. Join us again for another program in this series. And until then, this is Steve Lubetkin. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you out there on the net. Take good care.